Now, in the historic church calendar, we're about to celebrate Epiphany on January the 6th. This is the day that the early church set aside to celebrate the arrival of the wise men, or magi, who came to see the baby Jesus. Historically, this is a time of celebration, a time of gift-giving, the start of a season of new beginnings with great expectations. It's also the day the Ukrainians have Little Christmas, so that we have the opportunities to do the sales after Boxing Day and can successfully have a Christmas that we can personally afford. Okay? Now, the word epiphany comes from the Greek epiphania, which means manifestation, striking appearance, an experience of sudden and striking realization. Now, we'll go to slide 2. The Magi, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. There was a sudden and striking awareness that came to the Magi of who this baby Jesus was. It was truly the Messiah, the Son of God. For these wise men, it all finally made sense. For the journey, the effort of where they had come from, for their studies, for their knowledge, that all finally made sense. Now, Epiphany carries a range of meanings. Go to slide 3. Yes, it's an intuitive grasp of reality. Yes, it is an illuminating discovery. But really, it's a moment of sudden or great revelations or revelation that changes you. That changes you. Now, on my research, I went to that site called Wikipedia and to other sites, and I came across this definition. It wasn't quite Wikipedia, but it was another one, where an epiphany is described as a realization, an opening, a portal to the divine, a growing up, a special moment that impacts you and changes you forever, and you can remember it vividly as you first experienced it, a moment that changes the lens through which you view your life, a change of perspective that happens in the moment of clarity, something that gives you the strength to take a different direction or move forward, that opens you up to everything, a sense of wonderment, of clarifying direction, that moment where you know your life is not going to be the same. Question: what moments of epiphany have you had? What moments of epiphany have you had? What moments of epiphany have you had? Samuel, I need your permission. You stay there. I'm going to talk about you in a moment. I didn't speak to you before. Normally, you ask your family permission to be a sermon illustration. I can remember that moment of epiphany when I realized that the lady I had just dated, I was going to marry. A moment of epiphany was I was working on the trains, taking a train up to the top of the Crow's Nest Pass in the Rocky Mountains, leaving the train, going, sitting on a hillside, looking at the mountain, and realizing that Neil Armstrong had just walked on that thing. Or it was the moment where the Holy Spirit came upon me in the prayer meeting in the back of a church. I invited you to a prayer meeting. Be careful. The Holy Spirit is always there. But the moment of epiphany I want to talk about is when I picked up my grandson for the first time. He had just been born. We had traveled from Kelowna over to Nanaimo. And I was handed this little baby. The rush came through me. The awareness came through me. And I realized this was different. This was a new kind of love. And I looked to the heavens and I said, I get it. I understand. This is all part of your plan, God. This is your doing. Now, in the years to come, I had the opportunity to hold on to 3 other grandchildren. And through my growing awareness of the concept of family, through my growing awareness of Scripture, through my growing awareness of carrying Samuel around, through my growing experience of understanding God's love, each time I picked up one of my grandchildren, I turned to heaven and said, okay, I get it. This is part of your plan. This all makes sense. Now the Magi. We'll go to slide 5. Also traveled on a journey. And in Wikipedia it says that there's some added things that you have to understand about those moments of epiphany. That there's a certainty that the process of significant thought has taken place beforehand. That often this moment of epiphany is triggered by a new and key piece of information. And that there's a depth of prior knowledge is required to allow that leap of understanding. Well, you see, having a grandson or having a granddaughter, I had anticipated and wanted and dreamed about. In studying my scriptures, I began to understand the whole concept of family and the legacy that God wants within family. Through my experience of other young families with children, I began to observe and watch and understand what it was like to have children. But then when you become a grandparent, it's even better. Because they go away and come back. That's the Magi also had significant thought and preparation before they arrived in Bethlehem. They had acquired key and new information along the way, and that there was a trust in the depth of their knowledge to that point in time. We'll go to number 6, the blank. Built within the Magi was a pursuit of truth. These scholars would also be aware of world and global events. In slide 7, this might surprise you a little, but ancient historians have written this, that there was a well-founded belief that at this time, the East was to grow powerful rulers coming from Judea, who were to acquire a universal empire. 3 historians there, who wrote in the year hundreds, the first century, were reporting that there was a belief and an acceptance that power was to come from the East, and that out of Judea there was going to be someone who would have a universal empire. So the wise men knew this. Now these scholars were also recognized as people who would read scrolls or books of the times. These scholars who had come from the East, which we assume is Babylon, must have known about Daniel. Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, the 3 guys in the fire. Well, Daniel was exiled from Israel. He was called to read and understand the king's dreams, which he successfully did. And then King Nebuchadnezzar said this, slide 8. Truly, your God is the God of gods and Lord of kings. Daniel went on to receive high honors. He became the ruler of Babylon and supervised all the wise men of Babylon. So these wise men who came to Bethlehem had part of this history with them. And Daniel also had somebody that was blogging at the time. His name's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wrote this: "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior." They're scholars. They had read books. They knew the history of the land. They knew what the political trends and waves were going. But they were also students of the heavens and the sky. Slide 10. There was a prophet named Balaam. Now, we all know the story of Balaam and Balaam's... Oh, you're very polite. Ass. But Balaam, in his writings, say, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of the sea, out of Israel." Prophecies, writings, history. We'll go blank. With all of this possible, with all of this background, these scholars, recognize them as scholars, set out to Judea to find the King of the Jews. And though they were caught up in political intrigue and deception and fraudulence, as depicted in our video, they persisted. When you look at that video clip, I love it, just how tough those wise men looked. They had been on a journey, and they were prepared to go on their journey. And they weren't going to be fooled by anyone, even though a Herod that looks like Stalin. I don't know if you picked that up. Then they came to Bethlehem, and they came to that point of awareness. That point of awareness that had been building in their hearts, their studies, and in their observations. They finally came to that special point where their seeking, their asking, their persistence was to pay off. When it would all make sense. God's revelation was, who was this King of the Jews? It all made sense that that child was the Messiah. That child was God's blessing. That child was God's unique way of coming into the world in person. Now, Matthew paraphrases Micah in the Matthew passage, where he says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, and out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." But one of the things this is exciting about Scripture and reading and studying, if you go to Micah, you get more. Micah goes on to say, this shepherd, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. Wouldn't you ever see in Scripture the capital Lord, you say God? In the strength of God, in the majesty of the name of God, his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will bring our peace. Oh, man. Peace. And in the Greek and in the Hebrew, not Greek, in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic, shalom. Complete peace. It was a long journey. And these magi, these scholars made it to Bethlehem. They were before the babe, and it all made sense. My invitation for this season of Epiphany, not just on the 6th, but the season of Epiphany, the new beginning, and we can tie it into our secular view of making New Year's resolutions, the season of Epiphany, I want you to go on a journey. The words from Jeremiah again, that chap that was blogging, he says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. For those of you who are action-oriented and driver personalities, oh yeah, this is great, we're going on a journey. For you expressives, you're going to go, who are we going with? There's got to be some people I'm going to journey with. You laboratory retrievers, this is Gary Smalley's personality typing, are going, hey, it's a party, it's good. They're going to scratch my ears and it's going to be great. And you analyticals are going, hey, you mean I can actually go into a quiet room and pick up a book and that can be the journey? My invitation is do what the Magi and these scholars did. Start thinking. Start studying. Start asking questions. Begin a journey. Pursue your interest in Jesus Christ. And in that pursuit, you will find rest for your soul. But you have to take the step. And at this table is the beginning of that journey. At this table, we encounter the ancient pathways. At this table, we encounter the blessing of God. At this table, we have that opportunity to experience an epiphany. Let us join together and say our invitation to this table. Join in me with this. With one voice, let us say, we invite to this table all who confess Jesus Christ as Lord, as forgiven and reconciled people who seek to lead a life of love, witness, and faithful service. Let us join together and break bread and drink wine in remembrance of Christ's love and sacrifice for us.